All right, good morning or good afternoon, depending on what side of the bed you woke up on. Overflow. All right. Can I start off by saying go blue? Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I knew there were some Michigan State fans here. Say, get them off the stage. I didn't know what was going to happen, tomatoes or what. All right, at the end of this wonderful, wonderful series that the teaching team has put together. I want to say before I start talking about that, I want to give a shout out to one of my closest friends here in this area and my brother, Pastor Elijah. Let's give him a round of applause. He has done a phenomenal job in the past year, celebrating a year now here at The Flow. Thank you, Pastor Elijah, for your vision, your passion, your enthusiasm of being able to lead this ministry. It is no short feat in terms of being a pastor, but more importantly, he is a man after God's own heart who wants to invest in each of us and really pour into us, shepherd us, steward us, and to really give the vision for Overflow to advance the kingdom of God in our community. So thank you, Pastor Elijah, for your vision, for your excellence, but more importantly, for me personally, thank you for your friendship. And so I want to get right into it. They gave me a little bit more time, so thank you, Pastor Joel, for the additional time. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but we will see if they throw tomatoes at me later on. All right, Genesis chapter 2, as we come to a close in this series related to the good life. And so we're going to read from Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse number 18, if you will stand for the reading of God's word. And I'm reading it from the easy to read version. We have it on the screen. Okay, there we go. All right, we got it on the screen. All right. And it says, then the Lord God said, I see that it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make the companion he needs, one just right for him. And the Lord God used dust from the ground and made every animal in the fields and every bird in the air. He brought all these animals to the man, and the man gave them all a name. The man gave names to all the tame animals, to all the birds in the air, to all the wild animals. And he saw many animals and birds, but he could not find a companion that was right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to sleep. Men say hallelujah for sleep. And I know the wives are saying, that's your problem, you sleep too much. So he caused the man to sleep very deeply. While he was asleep, God took one of the ribs from the man's body, and he closed the man's skin where the rib had been. The Lord God used the rib from the man to make a woman. And then he brought the woman to the man. And the man said, oh Lord God, finally, one like me, with bones from my bones and a body from my body, she was taken out of a man. So I will call her one man. All right, hallelujah. And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And in this way, the two become one. This is the word of God. Be God. Amen. You may be seated. We have been in this series related to the good life, and the focus of this series, as you guys know, for those who have been a part of this series and have listened to those who have preached and taught, that the goal of this series is to help us to understand that within the Garden of Eden lies everything we need as individuals, as humans, to be able to thrive, survive, and flourish. So within the Garden of Eden, God had created everything, put everything in the Garden of Eden for us to be able to thrive, survive, and to be successful. And so for the past few weeks, we've talked about various elements within the Garden of Eden that God created for us to have this abundant life, this good life, this fulfilled life, this complete life. And so today we are finishing this series by talking about one aspect of how we can individually have a good life, a fulfilled life, a complete life, and that is relationships. The importance of relationships in order for us to be able to have a complete and fulfilled life. Now, there are three relationships that we see in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3. Now, the first two, I'm going to go over them pretty quickly. I'm not going to spend too much time in them. They are messages within themselves. And so I want to really focus on the last one. And even with that one, there's so much nuances and so much complexity to that. But I just want to focus in one particular direction with that, as is a spouse in Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18. And so I'll go quickly through the first two, and then we will end with the last relationship that we see crystallized here in Genesis 2 and also in Genesis chapter 3. So for the first relationship that God created in the Garden of Eden that we see in Genesis chapter 2 is man's relationship with God. Mankind, humankind's relationship with God. God ordained in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, he ordained his relationship with mankind. Now, we see this crystallized in Genesis chapter 3 more than Genesis chapter 2, because in Genesis chapter 3, we see times in which the Lord God would walk in the Garden of Eden. And so that would demonstrate to us and tell us and show us that there was a level relationship that God had with mankind, this level of interaction that he would have. Because in order for man to survive, in order for mankind to thrive, in order for all of us as humans to be successful, right? Yes, we could have cars, and yes, we could have possessions, and yes, we could have houses, and yes, we could have lofty titles, and we could have wonderful jobs. But in order for us to truly survive on this earth and to really thrive the way God originally designed us to thrive, we need a relationship with God. And the problem with the world, and the problem a lot of times that we see among leaders, whether that's government officials or business leaders, is they are operating honestly without a relationship with God, which means their decisions are not going to be rooted according to God's original plan. They're going to be rooted from their own intellect. And the danger of that is, if we are making decisions just based on our own intellect and God is not in the equation, the problem is we're following ourselves instead of following the plan of God. And that's why we have so much chaos and confusion in the world. But God had created us. He's our sustainer. He created us to thrive and flourish spiritually, emotionally, cognitively, and physically. And the only way we could do that is by having a sustained relationship with him. Now, how do we know that this relationship is important? I know you're saying, thank you, Drew. I know you're going to tell us, illuminate us. In Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26, the Bible says that God said, let us make man in our own image. Now, for some of you theologians who are thinking, well, how is God saying, let us? Who is he talking to? I will defer to someone who is greater than I, Pastor Elijah, who will give you a wonderful answer to that question. But I just know that God said, let us make man in our own image. And then in verse 27, it says that God made man in his image, and he made male and female both. He created them both in his image and in his likeness. And so I don't have time to really go into detail about what that image is, but I will focus on one particular aspect since Pastor Joel gave me additional time. Thank you, Pastor Joel, again. This image and this likeness, what we have that no other creation has is the ability to think and to be able to rationalize. And the only way that we can have right thinking instead of stinking thinking, right, is when we are in tuned with God. So that relationship is key. So in order for us to think properly, our relationship with God has to be solid. And that's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but we what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way that you can understand God's will and his plan for your life is if there's a transformation of the mind, and that was created in the beginning during creation. That's how we're reflecting the image and the likeness of God. The second relationship that we see evident in Genesis and in the Garden of Eden is the relationship between man and God's creation. Here it is. God creates everything, right? So in Genesis 1, it goes through the 7 days and what God creates. And then in Genesis 2, it starts to crystallize and focus in on a particular aspect of creation. In Genesis 1, it goes through and covers from A to Z, from the universe and everything a part of it. And then in Genesis 2, it focuses in on the creation of man, and it focuses in on creation of animals. And God had ordained from the very beginning that mankind was to be stewards and managers and overseers of his creation. Now, I didn't intend to do this. I said this at 9 o'clock service. I did not intend to do this. So, Pastor Elijah, please don't shoot me later. But as we're talking about Mosaic, right, and Joel's fault, so he had to mention Mosaic, so I'm going to blame him right now. Right? What Mosaic does is help individuals understand the importance and the dignity of work that was created in the beginning. So when God formed Adam, before he gave Adam Eve, he gave him work to do. Oh, come on, somebody. Before God gave Adam Eve, he gave Adam work. He gave him a responsibility to steward his creation the way that he saw fit. God was the owner. Adam was the CEO, and it was Adam's responsibility to be a steward of the resources that God gave him, whether that's natural resource, whatever that was, it was Adam's responsibility to lead it to the glory of God. And I don't care if you have your own business. I don't care if you filed an LLC with the state of Michigan. I don't care if you did all of your stuff related with the IRS. At the end of the day, if you feel like you have your own business, then you have a problem, because it's not your business. It's God's business. Because God has called each one of us to steward his resources. If we see something that's ours and not God's, therein lies the problem. And so one of the first responsibilities that God gave to Adam was to name all of the animals that God said his way. Now, I don't know how long this took. Obviously, we know there are a lot of animals out there. But it was his responsibility to name them. Now, I can imagine that Adam just didn't start just throwing out names. There had to be a relationship of fondness, of affinity. There had to be something that just think about your own dogs or your own cats, right? You give them a name, right? And a part of that name is coded in their name is the relationship that you have with them. I hope you don't call your dog Buster just because you just feel like that's a great name. Right? Just based off of the relationship that you have, well, he's acting like a Buster, so that's why I'm calling him a Buster. Right? So there had to be a level of relationship that you have with animal, and that's why that second one is so key, that God gave to Adam the responsibility of developing a relationship with his creation. And with this relationship, it helped him to steward God's resources effectively. And then there's the third one. God saw that his relationship with Adam was needed. In order for him, Adam, to be effective in the Garden of Eden, the relationship that he had with God had to be so tight. He had to walk in step with God in order for there to be thriving and flourishing. God knew that. God knew that he had given him this awesome responsibility to not only lead his creation, but to develop a relationship with his creation. God recognized the importance of these two relationships and their need, and man's need of these relationships to be able to be successful and to be effective. But then, even in this, God said, still, man is alone. Still man is by himself. Still man is empty. There's a void. He's lacking. And I'm sure that God observed Adam as Adam was leading his creation. Here it is, Adam, seeing all of these different species of animals, seeing all of the fish and the birds, said to himself, they all have someone like them. I have no one like me. And God identified this. And he said, aha, got what Adam needs. And he did something unique, something that we don't see in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, right? Because from everything else, God created it or them from the ground. God took dust and created man. God took out of nothing and created the whole world. But in this particular moment, God does something that is so mind-blowing. He caused man to fall asleep. And it wasn't just any type of sleep. This brother was knocked out. He didn't know what was going on in the world. I mean, the animals could have just been going over the... He was knocked out. Right, so you can elbow your wife and see, I wasn't the first one. See, Adam started it. And God extracted from Adam, from his side, a rib. He didn't take about five of them. This wasn't a barbecue special. I had to throw that in there. He took a rib and he fashioned and he made and he crafted the woman. Now, we're going to talk about why he did that in a minute. But what God does in this particular moment is he creates for Adam what the Hebrew manuscript of the Greek Septuagint called a help meet, right? And we have used that as men as a derogatory term. And see, you're just called to be a helper of me. No, that's not what God was intending to say. So I'm going to challenge that theology and that stinking thinking right now. What God does in this particular equation is he creates someone who's a companion to Adam. Now, we could talk about all kinds of human relationships, and I don't want to talk about all of those things. I want to focus on this particular relationship because I think it's important. It is the bedrock of our society, and this is the reason why the enemy has attacked our society, as he started with the family, and at the core of the family is this man and woman, and when that dynamic goes awry, this is the reason why we see chaos and confusion. So I want to start with what God presents in the Garden of Eden. You can apply it to other human relationships, but I just want to stick here for a moment. What God does is he created this companion, this helpmeet, this help suitable, this help comparable, someone who will walk in step, side by side, stride for stride with man and make him a better person. And the men of the house said, amen. Y'all not saying amen, so something's wrong. Yeah. Y'all in trouble later. I just want to let you know. Amen. All right, there you go. Somebody said amen. So what God does is he takes from Adam and makes something that will be his better half. Someone who can complete him. Someone who could understand him. Someone who can help him be the best self he can be. Someone who can help him grow. Someone who's a shoulder for him to cry on. Someone that when he's sad, lifts him up. Someone that when he's rejected and he feels like the whole world is against him, they're able to make him happy. Someone who can walk side by side and come alongside of him and make him better. And at the end of the day, we can try to do all sorts of things, but at the end of the day, there's only some things, men, if we're honest with ourselves, that a woman can only do for us. Science can try to create gadgets and toys that try to replicate and duplicate. All right, I'm going to shut up now. I'm sorry. I'm going to get myself back together. You know, right? They could try to create all of these things to try to replicate and to try to mimic and to try to duplicate God's original plan. But God's original plan that we see in creation is for a man and a woman to come together. Pastor Elijah's going to get me later on. See, we have tried to deviate from God's original plan, and we've tried to use our own intellect. We've tried to use our own reason, and we've tried to use our own mind. But because of the fact, there again, when sin came into the world, our thinking became stinking. And because of that, we said, well, we're going to try to mirror what God has done, and we're going to become creators like God. But that still doesn't replace God's plan for our lives. Y'all can cuss me out later. I want you to think holy thoughts right now. And so when God creates Eve, he creates what John Piper says, someone who is so like him, but someone who is perfectly unlike him, that she is the most suitable companion to him. So why did God decide to take a rib? Well, I'm glad you guys asked me. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Right? Because God is God. He could have taken a pinky toe and created Eve. But what God does is he took from the man's side a rib. And what John Piper says is that God took a rib because it symbolized that woman is beside, not underneath, not behind, but the woman is beside the man. And so God was showing Adam, and God is showing us, that in order for us in a marriage to be successful, in order for us as a community to be successful, we have to have families that are built around this original design, that we have husband and wife, man and woman, walking side by side. But the problem is, in our society, we have changed God's original design. And even though we try to rationalize it, and we try to revolutionize it, and we try any other isis that we can think of to replace it, the reason why there's so much chaos is because we're not following God's original plan. And so as the praise team comes up, I want us to think about right now at this particular moment. I want this to be a moment of reflection for each one of us, as we're trying to wrestle with our own brokenness, as we're wrestling with our own emptiness, as we're wrestling with the void that we have in our lives. And I know that for some of you, you may be having all kinds of questions related to, well, what other human relationships are there? And I know that's a subject for a different day. I really felt God was calling us to talk about what is in the Garden of Eden and how he created this man and this woman, and the interaction between the two. Because the reason why the enemy has such a foothold in this world is rooted in this lack of following its original design. And so Even though this can apply to any other human relationship, I wanted to focus there, start there. But if you are in right now a broken relationship, that could be a broken relationship with God. It could be a broken relationship with a creation. It could be a broken relationship in your marriage and in your relationship with others. This is an opportunity for you to say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. Right? Because we have tried for so long to do our stuff ourselves, and we have failed. I know some folks who are in broken relationships, and they try to fake it until they make it. They come to you and say, I am doing well. I am blessed and highly favored. But inside, you know they are broken. And they never get any healing because they don't seek the great healer. They need their cups to be filled, but they never go to the one who can fill it in overflow. And so if that is you today, I want you to go to the back and talk to those who are prayer warriors who will pray for you. And their prayer for you is going to be, Lord, let's help them to mend their brokenness. Well, whatever that broken relationship looked like, Lord, please mend it. But first and foremost, it takes us repenting. It takes us recognizing that we need God to help us. That we have tried it ourselves and we have failed. So I want to end with prayer. And as the praise team comes up after me, I want you to think about how God can help you live a better life. Father, without you and without following your original design, we are empty. We've tried to do it ourselves. We tried to follow the world's way. We've created our own ways, created what was right in our own eyes. But Lord, without you, our lives are empty. Yes, we may have a refrigerator full of food. Yes, we may live in a house that's on the beach. Yes, we may have seven digits in our bank accounts. But without you, and without the other relationships that you have ordained, we are empty. Lord, what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world and in the process lose their own soul? Lord, we admit our brokenness to you. We say, Father, forgive us. Father, mend us. Father, heal us. Father, restore us. It is in your Son, Jesus the Christ, we ask and we pray.